We're doing Netivot Shalom and Parshat Mishpatim, and our subject is Vayechazu Ta Elokim, Vayechalu Vayishtu. It says the elders were perceiving a prophetic vision of Hashem as they were eating and drinking. So the Pasuk says, Ve'latzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. Hashem did not punish the exceptional ones of Israel, even though Vayechazu Ta Elokim, Vayechalu Vayishtu, even though as they were watching the prophetic vision, they were eating and drinking. Rashi Piresh B'Zeh B'Shem HaMidrash Tanchuma. Rashi quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, that the Pasuk was telling us something improper that they did. As they're watching a prophetic vision, they're eating and drinking. They deserve to be punished. The Pasuk is telling us Hashem didn't punish them, even though they deserve it. But the Targum translates it differently. The Targum says, they saw the honor of Hashem, and they were so happy with their sacrifice that was accepted, it was as if they had eaten and drank. That's how the Targum explains it, very different than Rashi. And from this we can learn something about the way we should serve Hashem. Dimrumaz kan al derech avodah shechazu ba rav ravei bnei Yisrael. Because here there's an allusion to the system that was used by the great people of Israel in serving Hashem. They all stood there and received the Torah, right? The Ten Commandments. And Hashem appears before them. And our sages say all seven heavens were open and they were able to see the world clearly and recognize there's no force in the world other than Hashem. So they're elevated to a level that the verse says, Hashem says, I want you to be like angels. I want you all to be elevated. So they understood that if they were elevated to such a level, so in life there's always a balance. Whenever we have a high, so there's always a potential for a great drop. You know, this is a rule in economics too. If you ever look at graphs, you'll see, like the stock market, if it shoots up, so usually it'll also have a shoot down. It might continue up, but things zigzag. So in spirituality, it also works that way. If you have a big high, so then you have to be prepared there's going to be a big potential for a drop. There's going to be a big challenge to that big high. So they had just attained a big high. They saw the revelation at Sinai. So they recognized around the corner is lurking a test, a challenge. And they had a question, after we saw such a great vision, how are we going to deal with the mundane world? We have to go back and feed our children. We're going to have to go back and deal with the animals that are hungry, the simple mundane responsibilities of day-to-day living. So that's what the Pasuk says, Vayochlu Vayishtu, they ate and they drank. Eating and drinking is a reference to dealing with the mundane. How did they go back to the mundane after seeing such a prophetic vision? I don't know if you guys ever have this experience. Sometimes you're learning, and you're learning, and you're into the learning. And then you got to pick up your head and go eat lunch, and it's like, why should I go eat lunch? So sometimes that's the best part of the day. But sometimes you're in a different world and you don't want to land. You're somewhere else. It's a disturbance. Why do I have to stop and eat? It's like the end of Yom Kippur. Sometimes we connect Yom Kippur and sometimes we connect more. So sometimes we connect on a level where the last 2 hours we're dying for that drink or that snack. But sometimes Yom Kippur ends and you feel like, who wants to eat? I was somewhere else. I don't want to land from where I was. Davening shouldn't end. So they were asking themselves, how are we going to come back to the mundane world? It says in the Holy Zohar that whenever you have Torah, the service of Hashem, and mitzvos, without being a God-fearing person, without having mercy from above or love for above, so then it's like the Torah and the service and the mitzvos don't have wings. They can't elevate themselves. So all the things we do as Jews have to have that component of an awe of heaven and a love of heaven. So when a person does mitzvos, he has to work with both. A person can say, I'm giving charity, right, but am I giving charity as a Jew or am I giving charity as someone who walks by the street and gives charity? The first thing a person has to have is an awe of heaven. Hashem told us to do something, we have to do it. Part of the awe of heaven is that a person says, I'm going to stop doing what's wrong. I know I should not be communicating on Facebook with my old girlfriends. I know. There's an element of sur meirah. Let me veer away from what I'm doing wrong. Part of being a God-fearing person is that I say, okay, there are things I'm wrong. There are things I have to shift away from. It's part of our observance of mitzvot. A person knows that his cell phone should be off on Shabbos. He should not be looking every time an SMS comes in or a new email comes in. There are things that have to be, we have to veer away from. Now, even within the mundane, there are things that a person has to take control. But we work with both systems. We work out of an awe of heaven. We work out of a love for heaven. When a person is dealing with the pleasures of this world, so then he has to work with both. We're supposed to enjoy the world. We're supposed to enjoy it within the system of Torah, within the system that involves an awe and a love of heaven. So these two aspects are alluded to when it says they were perceiving Hashem. On the one hand, it says Elohim. Elohim means Hashem in all his might. And on the other hand, it says Vayechezu. They were looking on with a love. To look is very often an idea of when you love someone, you look at them. And that's how a Jew has to deal with this world, like eating and drinking. A person has to perceive the world with a love for Hashem in the mitzvot and an awe of heaven. He wants to say that that's the idea that Lo Shalach Yado, it says, the elders were perceiving and Hashem didn't extend his hand to them. Rashi learns it means Hashem didn't punish them, even though they shouldn't have been eating and drinking at that time. But he says that the idea is that they were able to eat and drink, and it was done in the proper balanced way of Torah, and nothing was able to take hold of them, to pull them down from that. What do we mean? There are two ways to eat a meal. A person can eat a meal. Let's think of Shabbos. Okay, you come to the Shabbos meal, you smell the chulent, you come to the table, you're salivating, you're waiting, they finally bring out the chulent. What do you see? They put out one bowl of chulent for 15 people. So if you're smart, you make sure to take the first helping, right? But wait a second, survival of the fittest, right? But if the meal is reflective of a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, if it's not just a connection to my palate and my paunch, it's a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then that's going to be reflected in what I eat and how I eat and how I approach food and how I approach life. But I'm hungry. Yeah, I know I'm hungry. Right. But if I'd eat bread, I'd be full also. Yeah, but I have to have a balanced diet. Right. And shulent is what makes it balanced. So we have excuses. But we also have a system. So let's say there's enough shulent for everyone. Great. Now what? But I still have a choice how I approach that shulent. In everything, we have a choice. And if a person only takes a minute, it can take a split second where a person asks himself, what am I doing here? I'll give you a small example, okay? In 10 minutes, you guys will go up to Ma'ariv. How does the average person walk into Ma'ariv? You walk into Ma'ariv and you look at the guy speaking and you wonder, why didn't he end yet? It's time for Ma'ariv, right? Isn't that the classical first thought that happens when you walk into a Beis Medrash? And then you start thinking, am I going to find a comfortable seat? You finally get one and you plop down ready to start. Do we ever stop and think, I'm standing before my Creator? You know, even in mitzvot, sometimes it's like the Ribbono Shel Olam's not there. Certainly when we deal with the mundane, if a person stops during his day and thinks for a minute, Lifnei mi ata amel, before whom am I working? What am I doing here? And it's true even in Mechon Meir, right? Every person that came here has invested a lot to come here. But then you can forget why you're here. And suddenly it becomes annoying. Why is davening so long? Why is davening so short? Why we can always have things that annoy us with what's going on in here.
Students annoying.
I wouldn't know. But if a person stops and thinks periodically, what am I doing here? He brings Hashem back into his life. His davening is going to be different. I try to do this. I'll tell you personally. Before I start Shmona Esrei, I try to remind myself I'm standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sounds funny, right? You'd think it's obvious. It's not. Once you get into the shvung, you know, your mouth just keeps running. But do you ever stop and think who you're talking to? If we stop, it's to stop and refocus. And it's certainly relevant in the mundane world when we deal with the simple mundane things we have to do. So the Shulchan Aruch begins with this idea. The Ramah, in the opening paragraph of Shulchan Aruch, says, if a person thinks that Hashem is watching, then his behavior is going to reflect that.
I'm serious.
The elder of Kuvrin said that if you look closely at the Ramah says, take it to heart. Because it's not enough to understand it. The idea is to connect it with one's heart. So the first idea he dealt with is an awe of heaven. That when a person is about to enjoy himself, he should stop and remember he has to have a certain respect. But now he turns to the point of Ahavat Hashem, a love for Hashem. It says they were able to look on lovingly as they were applying their awe of heaven, their love of heaven to the mundane, to the eating and drinking. Can a person sense in his life that Hashem is shining into his life? He can. But does a person? That's up to him. If a person is willing to sense that, so then other pleasures are not so important to him. When a person can feel connected to the tefillah, to their bon shalom, other things are not so important to him. It says in the Torah Salvos, it says on the Pasuk, Imamo yomar ha'eved avti et adoni et ishti ve'et banai. This is a deep concept. I think that this is not for us right now. He continues with deeper concepts that I don't think are for us right now. I'm going to skip to the last paragraph. second to last paragraph. We have a mitzvah kedoshim to you. Hashem says, be holy people because I am holy. Wait a second, that applies to me. It applies to everyone. That means every one of us can attain that level of holiness. If Hashem gives us a mitzvah, that means we can do it. It says, you will be a nation of priests, a holy nation. Look at how the Torah speaks to each and every one of us. That means the Torah believes every Jew. The Torah informs us that every Jew has the power to do that. The Rebbe, Rav Baruch Mezhibuzh, said that he was once traveling with his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. And an old one of the non-Jews asked the Baal Shem Tov, how could you separate yourself from the desires of the mundane world? And Baal Shem Tov said to him, I'm an old man, so none of that interests me anymore. So the Rebbe Rav Baruch Mezhibuzh asked his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, why didn't you just tell him I'm a Jew? The Baal Shem Tov said, I couldn't tell him that because he wouldn't understand what I was telling him. So Rav Baruch said, you're not allowed to explain that to him. And even if you would try to explain to a Jew what it means to be a Jew, you would never be able to do it. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said to him. He said, you know, you're not going to be able to. We were given a strength that we don't have. I had an interesting conversation with a relative of mine. He said to me, you know, I'm already more than half a century old. And as old as I get, he says to me, I still don't understand anything about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it shocks me that I came into this world without understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm going to leave the world, and I don't think I've advanced any in my understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I said to him, you know, it's interesting because you're worried that you don't understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I find it shocking that I don't understand myself. As many years as go by, I don't begin to understand myself. The Ribbono Shel Olam, I understand that I don't understand, but I don't understand how I don't understand myself. You'd think we can understand ourselves. Coming back to the point of the Netivot Shalom, a Jew has to believe that the Torah was given to him. one of the connecting points we have to develop within ourselves is this is my Torah. Sometimes a person can come, I remember as a kid, I'd come to shul, and I'd watch the people davening. And I'd look at them amused, thinking, they believe. I didn't. So I was looking as an onlooker. I'd been shul, you know, I was born into a frum family, and I looked on and I wondered, what does it feel like to daven when you think someone's listening? Because I didn't. I'd be standing there in shul looking around me as an observer. This is interesting. How are they not embarrassed to do this? I'd see people squinting and davening with fervor, and I'd wonder. They're not embarrassed, and they're not, because they really believe. A person has to develop within himself that connection that the Torah is talking to me. It's not them. It's me. I am a part of the Jewish people, but I'm a part, their bone shalom is part of him in me. And so I have the potential to understand everything that's in Torah. That's one of the fundamentals, says the Netivot Shalom. And one of the times when a person can most connect, tap into this concept, is Shabbos. The Rebbe of Kovrin said, it says in the Pasuk, Kodesh hi lachem. Shabbos is holy unto you. On Shabbos, holiness settles down on everything that pertains to you. Shabbos is called in the Talmud a good gift that Hashem has in his secret treasury. So what's going on here? It's a gift, Shabbos. And it's alluding to the idea that if a person works initially to connect, then ultimately he attains something that's beyond his capacity. Sometimes you work, you say, I worked an hour, I get 25 shekel an hour, I got 25 shekel for the hour I worked. In Judaism, we say it's different. You work for 25 shekel an hour, you end up getting 250 shekel an hour. You're working to attain a certain amount, you suddenly realize you got that much more. You got much more than you worked for. And you'll see it in your learning, by the way. Very often people learn and they don't feel like they've advanced. What have I accomplished this year? When you look back, you'll suddenly see that you grew exponentially. In Torah, it keeps growing. You keep growing. Initially, you say to yourself, what did I cover? 2 lines of Gemara this week? I didn't learn anything yet. It's not true. You've developed skills. You've developed knowledge. You've developed connection. One of the reasons we don't have tests here is because you cannot test all the different levels that you grow on. A person thinks, I only learned 2 lines. No, you didn't. In the beginning of the week, you didn't connect to the Gemara. Now you do connect to the Gemara. So you learned much more than those 2 lines. So when a person works preparing for Shabbos, so then the gift, what he gets on Shabbos is so much more. The Baal Shem Tov said that he's ready to leave everything in this world and be as though he was dead. He says, when you do that, then you ultimately get the gift, all the blessings of Shabbos. Hashem gives him that gift of Shabbos, the holiness that a Jew can get. It says Hashem blessed the day of Shabbos and gave it holiness. Shabbos gives a person holiness. But on Shabbos I deal with the mundane. I eat chulent, I sleep late. I don't spend my time in spirituality. Not true. If you approach Shabbos correctly, then all of that is spirituality. And we'll end with, we have till 35, right?
Yeah.
The grandfather of Slonim said, it says, whoever keeps Shabbos in accordance with halacha, the Gemara says, so then even if he was initially a pagan, he'll be forgiven. Now, wait a second. If a person was a pagan, if a person did idol worship, Jew or non-Jew, technically he deserves a death penalty. So how does he get forgiven by keeping Shabbos? The idea is that he keeps Shabbos to the core. Kehil chata could mean the word kala, to the completion. Why is a kala called a kala? Because she is the completion of the man. Kalot means to complete. And that's the level that a person can attain on Shabbos. He can attain completion. And then he can fix everything that he has to fix. That's when the person works to connect with Shabbos. And I always like giving you guys the challenge that this Shabbos you should pause while you're eating your chul. It doesn't have to be the first bite. While you're eating the challah, take one bite while you're still hungry. Not your first bite. Your fifth bite, your tenth bite. Stop before you eat it and say to yourself, I'm doing this in honor of Shabbos. I have a mitzvah to sanctify Shabbos. This bite, I will do in honor of Shabbos. Try it with one bite. One bite of challah, one bite of chont, one bite of gefilte fish. Take one bite and see how that bite is different than every other bite. And that's the idea that if we can connect to Shabbos on a totally different level, then Shabbos affects us on a different level.